As we finished up the seven books that the Apostle Paul wrote, according to Mr. Jack Eberle from West Virginia, we decided to go back and look at some of the people's names, to look up some of the people's names that we had found after Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road. And to kind of take a glimpse at what he had gotten involved in and what he had seen, and also to realize that his eyesight was not very good, and that there may have been some disfiguration because of the brightness of Christ that he saw on the road when he was struck down. And he actually was down, evidently, maybe on his hands and knees, I don't know, in the road there. But that was a real jolt to somebody that had a lot of education and had understanding of where he lived and what kind of law they lived under, and to realize that the Israelites had a law of their own, and he looked at this Jesus was one that may have not have been the real deal, because long in those days there were a good many showing up saying that, yeah, this is the one that the prophets were talking about, this, that, and the other. But when Christ did come, this has opened my eyes again, and as many times as I've been through the book of Acts, I never realized this. That when Christ came and was crucified and was brought and put in a borrowed tomb, and he was there 3 days and three nights, like it's mentioned in of the young man that was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, Jonah, and to that had been foretold, and to realize the things that were going on in those days, and that Jesus showed up and started gathering up his 12 disciples. And going about and teaching and preaching and being with his disciples and trying to show them what was going on concerning all the things that was happening to them in an area of life that they probably never suspected that it was going to be that way. And to realize that God was choosing people out to do specific stuff, and the Father was also, and that I had never really looked at the books of Thessalonians, the first and second Thessalonians, and so I got involved with a lady down in Georgia that's about the only thing that she could get on her television. And the guy was teaching out of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and probably still is. And that I had just never really considered it being one of the earlier Gospels, but it truly is. And Ronnie took it up a few months ago, and he said, well, let's look at it. So we've been looking at it, and I don't have to go back and look at it because I'm sitting here with him whenever he does it. And so it has given me the understanding that what is said there was, and I don't really know exactly how to put it to make it more profitable to you guys, but to realize that what they were getting to begin with here was something that was kind of new to me also. And I'll tell you how that fits in with my life. And I was living with my grandma and grandpa after my mother and dad divorced. And they were living in this county, and on a little road called Oconee Creek Road, and it was a dirt road. Crooked as a black snake, they say. And Grandpa's health wasn't good, and he was having, during the war, during World War II when we lived in Ohio, he started having many strokes in his face, and it was really bothering his jaws. In his head, in his face. And so during those times that he couldn't drive to go anywhere, I would either ride with someone or I would walk to a church of God. And it was so different from what I had ever been involved with, because I've been to the Baptist church a little bit, and I've been to a Presbyterian church some, and when we were in Florida, and a year, and I started going to the Church of God church. Well, when we started getting involved in 1 Thessalonians, I realized that the very great portion of that was taken up by fornication. And fornication there brings up the thought of plural marriages, that one man can have several wives, in which that happened to one of the twins from that had been promised to Abraham and Sarah. And he married and had 12 children, which became the 12 tribes of Israel, from 4 different wives. He had those children. Well, back then, it was needful that God's wishes were done to where he had people that he could count on to do his will in this new world that we was in. And so, this was part of the fornication at a point in time that he wanted to do away with. And so they were those there of the Thessalonians that they were probably involved in the very same thing, and they were part of the family of God concerning what he wanted to do with them and give them a place that was built in heaven and brought to the earth that they could live on the rest of their life. But here was the situation, and this is what I got involved with at the Church of God there, because I had never heard this before mentioned just that way. But the very first thing they looked for was to be saved and to have salvation. And that was basically under their way of thinking. And it might have been with some of the other holiness, they call them the holiness people, that you were saved at one point, and then at another point, you could receive what they considered to be sanctification, which would give you a little time to realize that saving is one thing, and then sanctification is kind of another bag. And then to receive the Holy Spirit was another bag too. And it seemed like their deal was to be saved, and then sometime later to be sanctified, and sometime later to receive the Holy Ghost. They called it the Holy Ghost rather than the Holy Spirit. They tried to speak in tongues, which they did, but I couldn't understand it. They didn't have they didn't have an interpreter, so who knows what they were saying.
But for all intents and purposes, it was just gibberish.
Yeah, but to be saved and to be set aside, to be sanctified, was to be brought over to another group that probably had more understanding of God's will in that day. But you couldn't get to know all of God's will because you had to know of the Son and what the Son had done, because it had been told to them that He would come and that He would give His life for His people. Well, in the early days, when you saw someone show up with the understanding that he was part of the family of God, a lot of times, or some of the times, he would come on a white horse and they would call him Lord or Messiah. And also, he was known otherwise as Jehovah. But that was the Son before He came. And He and the Father got together and He was brought down to a single cell. And He was put in the womb of Mary, in Mary, to fertilize an egg and become man. Because at the time, it was needful to have a kinsman redeemer. And so that fit the man situation in Gilead. This was part of what the Son of God had come to do. But when they had Him crucified, well, they took Him and put Him in a grave that was barred grave. It wasn't a place where He was going to stay anyway, because He was only going to be there 3 days and three nights. Mm-hmm. But the fact of it is, these people had gathered around during His 3-year ministry there through through Jesus' 3-year ministry. I'm going to call him Jesus. And along with that 3-year ministry, we have records of where these people met with him. And he could take a little bit of food and bless it and feed as many as 5,000 people. Well, 5,000 people was not a little thing in that day.
Yeah. And still have baskets full left over.
But the thing of it was, when the multitudes came to Jesus, they started coming from all parts of the earth because they had been scattered out to all parts of the known earth at that day. Well, did they go back home? Do you know if they went back home? Or did they hang around? Where did all these people come from? Were there that many Jews in this place, this place, this place, this place, and that place? Maybe yes, maybe no. But they were Gentiles scattered in with the Jews, and they traded and done all kinds of things back and forth with each other. And when Jesus came and he gave his life and his blood and his breath for mankind and went to the grave and was in that grave 3 days and 3 nights, like Jonah was in the belly of the fish. And when he come back, he was with them for 40 days. Actually, that was after he came back to life, after he got out of the grave. He was with them 40 days. That's probation time, if you look at the word. For the Israelite people, 40 was the number of probation. When God didn't like what they was doing or this, that, or the other, it generally wound up for 40 days or 40 years or 40 something. Mm-hmm. Okay. The number 40. We didn't come up with math. That was given by God in Genesis 1 and 2, in the creation days. Okay, so a lot of things has happened, and a lot of things has went on, but when Jesus was put on the cross and took down and put in the tomb, and he was raised 3 days later, and he was with them for 40 days. Well, the one that had given Jesus over to the to be crucified, he was the one that Judas, he was the one that generally carried the money for the disciples for their food and whatever they needed. Well, you can read and find out there what had happened to him. And it wasn't a beautiful picture. It was bad as it gets.
Yeah, his...
Really.
His demise.
Okay. Well, one of the first things they did was get somebody to take Judas's place. Well, if you look at the first 3 chapters of the book of Acts, you will find that while they were there, Jesus told them, said, okay, said the holy day is coming up. And he said, you stay here until the Passover. And said, when the Passover comes, he said, the Comforter will come. My question is, who knew the Comforter? Who knew what the Comforter was? Well, the Comforter was Jesus himself. Taking away the sins of you and I and the rest of the world, if we would believe what was going to be brought forth from that time on. Well, Israel had been promised a hope. And this was one of the things that the Thessalonians were looking for. They were looking for a hope that come from God out of heaven down to a new earth. And they were going to be caught up in the air and they were going to meet the Father, because the people with Abraham's blood. Now listen to this. The people that had Abraham's blood and the promise of Abraham's blood, because this is where the Israelites came from. They had Abraham's blood, and they were supposed to marry within their group, or within their tribe, or within one of the 12 tribes. And that's what they were going to, and that would keep them straightened out. But then God gave them the commandments and the various things to go by. And they were doing some of the things that was written in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians that you weren't supposed to do. And so he was making a change in that to get the ones that were gone from being saved to being sanctified to be able to use them as prophets, bishops, elders, all these people that were in charge of the assemblies that were going to be brought up. What we call churches. Now we understand a church to be a brick building or a block building or a building somewhere. But that's not the church. That's an assembly hall. And the believers within that brick building or block building or whatever it is, that is the church, because God doesn't reside in
buildings.
Yep. He resides in people. Okay, now, how does God get into people like the Thessalonians? Who is the Comforter? The Comforter is Jesus. Or he has control of Jesus, or he has control of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit can always be with man, with or upon, but he was never really in. He may have had the gifts in, but now here is something that's going to take the place of circumcision. And this will get you all the way over to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. And before I got take this up, I wanted to kindly explain the way all this kindly had come down the road, because sometimes it's a little bit tough to understand, because the Bible is written in such a way that you generally can't get what you need to know in one place. It's usually broken down into two or three or four or maybe a bunch of different places. And that we just sometimes don't take the time to look it up. But now when Christ showed up, and they nailed him to the tree and they put him in the ground and they got him up, and he was here for 40 days after his resurrection, which made 43 days after he had been crucified. And he says, tarry there until the Comforter comes. Well, the Comforter is the third part of the Godhead that was didn't make of itself no reputation. It was just understood that there was something there that really had power and could give power or use power. And so when the Son went and gave his life, then the Father and the Son together agreed that the Son would have control of the Spirit, and the Spirit would answer to the Son. Does that seem like something different? Well, evidently it was, because when Christ was here those 40 days, the Son didn't come. I mean, the Comforter didn't come. But when the Son went back into heaven, a lot of people talked to him, a lot of people seen him. And he says, why are you standing here gazing up the way he came? He went back the same way, and he'll return again. The next day, or the next 2 days, or whatever it was, the Comforter came with tongues of cloven fire that stood over their heads. And those people had filled Jerusalem up. And they were Jews from every nation. And they were there to see this man. And I'm not really sure that any of them realized that he was going to have to give his life for their sins. But when he did, it was understood that that was part of the finished work of Christ. That was to give the Holy Spirit and to have an indwelling Holy Spirit in each of us who believed God. Is that salvation? Sure seems like it to me. Because when I heard God's word rightly divided, even started being rightly divided, that made me understand that I was, something was in me, dealing with me, that I didn't yet know, but I had been chosen from before the foundation of the world. And when I heard that message about the three men, that's a whole different story altogether, but it was Andrew and the tax collector, and it was Christ. Now, let's give you a little short synopsis of what it was. Andrew was under the tree when God was choosing the 12. And he said, there stands an Israelite with no guile. He couldn't find anything wrong with him as he lived. Well, the tax collector was a short dude, and they were coming down the road. And the tax collector, there were so many people around now, and I want you to think about so many people. Because there were so many around, the tax collector said, I can't get to him. I can't get to me. But I'll climb up in this sycamore tree.
Heck yes, yeah.
And he was the tax collector. Okay. Then when Jesus saw him up the tree, well, he came up there and he stopped and he said, get down out of that tree. I'm going to go home with you. I'm going to go and spend the night with you. People looked around and said, a tax collector, a sinful man is that? And this man is the Son of God and he's going to go spend the night with him? Well, that was a show of a sign, and all these people looked for a sign. All of the children who had Abraham's blood in them, they were born looking for a sign. Because that was Abraham's inheritance. That was going to be Abraham's inheritance on this earth. He said, this man's a sinner. You don't want to be going, that's part of my job. And then the next thing was, he was before Pilate, and they said, crucify him. We don't want him. We don't need him. Give us somebody out of the jail. Well, the Romans done the crucifying, but it was the Jews that caused it. And Paul never, ever let them forget it, the Apostle Paul. Never, ever. And part of it, too, was started by the old fisherman buddy. And, you know, the first two or three that was chosen were fishermen. Mm-hmm. And Christ said, follow me, you're going to be fishers of men. Peter. Simon Peter. He didn't have an education. He wasn't schooled under somebody like the Apostle Paul was. Neither did he have to be. So here we are. All these people going around hearing Christ. Some of them wouldn't believe him. They'd say, move on. Don't stay here. Move on. Well, in 2024, the places that they told him he couldn't stay there to preach, you can't find none of them places anymore. They don't even know where they are now. That's how God works. If you can't trust what he says, then he can wipe it off. And he can wipe you off just as well. Because it is belief in Christ or belief in Jesus. For the Jews, it was belief in Jesus. And so there's a lot of people. When Christ came out of that grave, there was a lot of people in Jerusalem that never expected to make their home there. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and the Holy Spirit dwelled within them without making a scar. Now, if a young man was circumcised, he was carried to the priest on the eighth day, and they would circumcise him and hold him up before God. And it says, this is one of your sons. With the circumcision already had been done. Well, I thought to me when my grandmother read this to me, well, was he going to go around and show people this? That don't make sense. Well, no. But every time he had to go to the bathroom, he was reminded himself of who he belonged to. But you see, this Holy Spirit thing now that answers to the Son, because the Son was the fabricator of all things, that the earth was cut and carved out of himself. And so we in this day and age, you know, they call people that can do that, you know, fabricators, because God had set us up everything here that we needed to build us buildings or to build us shelters with that. And when he run Adam and Eve out of the garden, he didn't give them a shelter. They had to go look for something to do the shelter themselves. And they were banned from the Garden of Eden. And so here we are. Man has to make his own way in this world, because God has given you and me everything that we need to do it with, and it was expected that we would do the work to do it. Well, think about it for a minute. All these people that were here or were in Israel at the time to see the Son of God and to have association with the Son of God, for the 3 years that he taught there after he was 30 years old, because he couldn't start his ministry until he was a man of his own. And after the 3 years when they crucified him, well, he was just here for a short time. Well, there was a multitude of people in Jerusalem at that time. And there was multitudes in other cities that they had come there to maybe leave where they had been carried off to, and they come back to their homeland. And guess who God chose? When he chose Saul on the Damascus Road, and he appointed him to carry this message to the people, everywhere he went, he looked for a tent maker to live with because that was what he learned to do as a child. To be a tent maker, you got to have some kind of shelter, folks. And if you didn't have a building, you could live in a tent. A lot of people did. These folks, a lot of them, become nomadic in a way, because things would happen and they would have to leave where they were and go somewhere else. And remember the 40 years that they went across the Red Sea and on dry ground, and then God got them together, and they crossed the Jordan River. Some crossed the Jordan River in a tribe in Ahab stayed on the other side of the river, but said, "Well, if y'all get in trouble, we'll come and help you." And so all these things worked out as God had planned in different stages and different ways, but sometimes they had to change. Well, now, you know, when you think about it and you realize that God had took the sins by His blood, and He went to the Father and carried Him to the Father, and they was used in the Holy of Holies, and He would never have to go back and do that anymore, once for all. He was God's man on earth, and He was man's God while He was on earth. And even when He went back into the heaven, He was still man's God, if man believed. And so here we sit, some nearly 2,000 years later, we sit here, and we're looking at all this together and say, well, how can we sit down and tell people about it with some kind of an understanding that they can understand if they don't know anything about this? And so a lot of times we get started talking with people and explaining to them what the Lord has done for us and what our hope is now. Because it wasn't the Thessalonians' hope that we've got. Because we are and have been, if we're believers, we are cleansed by the blood of Christ and not Abraham. And so this, and we are now Christ's hope. But it's Christ's hope in the heavenlies. Not on this earth, but in the heavenlies. But part of that is going to be on the earth because He's bringing, God has bring, it's going to bring this down for those that had that hope. And for our hope is to wait for Christ to appear again. Because when He went up into heaven from the Mount of Olives, He hasn't come back yet. And the reason He hasn't come back yet is because He is not complete. He is the head without a body. And the body is the rest of us that believe. And for about 3 weeks, I went around with this, all this in my mind and in my heart. And I said, okay, I'm tired of dealing with this. Lord, I want to be saved. I want to change my life. And I want You to change my life to where I will be a vessel for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can say that my sins have been taken care of because I felt like I had as many sins as anybody else did. Probably did. And I said, I'll promise to You, if You'll take care of me and stop me from smoking. I said, he knew I'd never drink because I've never been drunk in my life. And I said, if You'll get rid of these cigarettes for me, because I don't feel like I could do the work for Christ with a cigarette in my mouth. Now, that don't mean that it's wrong. I'm not going to say or tell you to throw them away. But I quit cold turkey Well, I didn't quit cold turkey. I quit Holy Spirit hot. That's what I quit. And so it's been since 71, so that's about 55 years. And I went back to Acts, and I've used about all my time up. But I went back to Acts and continued this journey, and I don't have to go through Thessalonians because Ronnie is going through Thessalonians, and if you will tune in with him on Sunday morning till he gets done with that, then he'll go to something else. But I'll probably still be following some of this stuff that Paul is going through with, because everywhere he goes, they are those that follow him to want to do him in. And we just found out that in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, that while he was in Derbe, he got stoned to death. And God had sent him and Barnabas down there to preach to these people and to give them some truth concerning what they believed. And they had heard other stuff, and they had some temple built somewhere. And Paul healed a man that had never walked. And after he had healed him, he said, "Arise up, walk." He didn't give his name because I couldn't write a name down because I don't have the name. And he leaped up and walked. Never had walked in his life. So he learned how to walk, and he learned that he was healed of this thing all in one swoop. And these people standing there watching it and said, "Oh, these are gods that have come back down to the earth." Like somebody had come along sometime before and maybe showed them some kind of signs or wonders that they understood to be somebody that had the powers to do things that they couldn't do. And so they named Paul and Barnabas, two of these Greek gods that they had going on, and they wanted to do they wanted to offer stuff to them, and they wouldn't take it. And so about that time, from when they was in Derby, well, these guys come down from these other towns that they had been visiting and said, "You need to kill these guys." Said, they won't let us render service to them in any way. And he said, "Well, you know, I think they from Antioch," they told him, "well, they may be false gods anyway," or something like that. And so they carried Paul out of the town, and they started stoning him the way the Israelite did their people in. If you did something worthy of it, then you would be stoned to death. They would take smaller stones and knock you down. And whenever they got you down, then they would take the bigger boulders and crush your head. And that would be the end of you. Okay? But guess what? The people in Paul's group gathered around, and before the sun went down, Paul rose up. Now, I don't know what his head looked like. I don't know what his face looked like, but I know what his eyes probably looked like. He probably looked like someone that you wouldn't want to have anything to do with. But this was this was God's choice of a man that was supposed to carry his will out. And so they went back into town, and the next morning they was out in town parading around. Paul was with them. Well, what were they to think? Oh my goodness. Hey, we just crushed this man's skull. He can't be living, but he is. And then guess what? Then Paul and Barnabas and Timothy was with them at the time, and he turned around and they went back into Antioch. And when they got up there, they told them all these things that were happening, and it happened to them. And they said, gee, stay with us. We want to hear more of this. And so they stayed with them in Antioch 2.5 years. And so that's where we're at. Now, I realize that the Thessalonians were caught up in the air, or would be caught up in the air, and that they could be saved, and then a period, a little time later, they could be sanctified, and then they could be filled with a comforter. I'll call it the comforter now, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, because that's what God had told them he'd send. Through Christ, through the Son of God, having been raised up. And they got it. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. If Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, a fisherman that basically fished all his life, and then he learned a lot of stuff right quick too. Yep. Well, when Saul was struck down on the Damascus Road, well, he walked out of Damascus and was 40 days and 40 nights in Arabia dealing with Satan. He and Satan were at war with each other, basically. And he turned around and come right back into Damascus. Nobody stopped him from coming back in. Well, how long did he stay there in Damascus? He went and he started preaching Jesus Christ, and he was picking up people and taking them back to Jerusalem to have them put in prison or to be killed, really. That was what he was doing. And so he started preaching in Damascus there, and he was there for 10 years or a little better. And it got so bad in the city of Damascus, because there wasn't but two ways in and two ways out, the straight street, they call it. It went through the middle of town. A gate at one end, a gate at the other end. And the town was a Kirjath, known by Israel. A Kirjath is a walled city, fortified. When they closed the doors, there's no way you can get in and out except through the gates, the two gates that they had there. And a lot of these places in the old Bible had a name. They would, like, for one that I can remember, is the city of Jerem. And they called it Kirjath Jerem. Well, when that was mentioned by those that knew, they realized that it was a walled city. And it's just like whenever they got off their trip, the 40-year trip in the wilderness, and they come down and cross Jordan. Well, the first city that they come to was a walled city, and they sent the spies down there spied the city. And the lady that was in the city took care of them. And so she knew what was coming. And they said, well, if you'll put this thread around the part of the wall that you live at, then you'll be safe. And she done that, and her had her family in there, and they were safe. And she became part of the
lineage of Christ.
The people that of Joseph and Mary that had the baby Jesus. And so, you know, all this runs in a circle, and I'll go ahead and close because I'm run out of time, but we're going to pick up with the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. But I wanted to get this down to where we have some understanding of where we are as to pick this up and start there, because after the 2.5 or after 14 years, after Paul was struck down on Damascus Road, we're going to pick up with a trip back there with Moses, with Paul and Barnabas. And it ain't going to be but just a little time until they're going to say, okay, you guys did good. You went out and done good. But did you circumcise these people? And they said, no. Well, why didn't you? Circumcise is part of the whole deal of God. Well, was it? And they had a little uproar, and then Peter got involved with them. And Peter talked with them for a while. And then when he got done talking with them, you don't hear Peter no more in the book of Acts, except by somebody else. Sometimes somebody else will mention Peter and his epistles. James does, for example. But after the 12th verse of chapter 15, Peter kind of leaves the scene, and it's turned over now to Paul and his group, basically, of people. But Peter's still around, or was for a while. But anyway, this is where we're going to get to. I've said all this to say that. And these people that had been taken away from the children of Israel and taken off as servants or slaves or whatever they made out of them, they felt the need to come back. And they were a bunch of them there when Christ was there. They were a bunch of them there when Christ was killed. They were a bunch of them there when Christ came out of the grave. And he heard what some of them had to say. And they heard him say this. They watched him go back into heaven. They haven't heard from him since. Haven't heard from him since. He is waiting for his body to be filled. And if you don't understand that, then you got to hang with us for a period of years. Because we can only give you a thimbleful at a time, but we got a big dump truck load out here in the yard. And we'll just fill your thimble up every time you'll join us. And sooner or later, you'll get it down to where you finally can come to some understanding, and hopefully that this stuff makes sense. because we're kind of living now in a low AMI period, because Israel is not the front runner here. And I'll just leave it at that. And this is one time that I never did get into Scripture, but I felt it important that we understood it a little more than we sometimes do, and that even when we pray, we thank God for these things, but I don't know that we could ever thank Him enough for what He has done for us, because He has done for us through His Son and the Holy Spirit what we could never do for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We never had a hope other than the Godhead and what it can do for us. And that can give us eternal life.
Amen.
Because Adam and them lost it, but we, through Christ, can get it back.
Amen.
God bless you and pray for us, and we'll continue to pray for you, and we will go as long as the Lord gives us breath here to do it. There is no retirement with God. God doesn't retire.
Amen.
He's been there all these millions of years. He'll be there the next millions of years. And I, particular one, hope to be there as part of Him through the Son, because that's the important thing, that He gives us the opportunity to become a saint of God by bringing us into His family as one being adopted.
Amen.
God bless you.